Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast with your hosts, Salsa,
Jenna,
and James.
We have James here once again, the lovely and talented James Fairbairn from the now on semi-permanent hiatus, yes. Awfulcopter podcast.
The Awfulcopter is on the truck. It's being delivered.
Indeed. Matt, as you may know, is elbow deep in Twin Cities Horror Festival planning gross. Stuff. So he is once again not gross. Here. So James has kindly come to help
rescue us from having to talk to each other.
The mundanity of
being elbow deep in Twin Cities Horror Fest is a good way to pull back a nub.
Yeah.
By the way, also.
So yeah, that's a thing. What you guys been up to?
Well, what are you guys drinking?
Okay, well, first
Drink,
right? I mean, well,
hold on. Let me get the sound on this here.
What? Oh my God, you're turning into Jenna. Okay.
Oh my God, that was like synchronized, you guys.
Jenna is drinking Dr. Pepper and Kahlua because she's boring.
Dr. Tiki.
Because she doesn't like good things.
Because I don't like humor.
James and I are drinking Castle Danger Ale.
It is very good.
It is super good. I do enjoy Castle Danger. I had the opportunity to tour them when they were just a garage in Castle Danger.
Back when they were garage danger.
They're in Two Harbors now.
Okay.
Yeah, I drive past there for the yearly camping trip that's coming up.
Yep. They moved into a larger space in Two Harbors and are doing very well for themselves. But they started off as just their like garage / machine shed in the back of their house like thing up in Castle Danger, Minnesota, which is where it gets its name, obviously. It was just a tiny operation crammed into a one room,
not from the horror
building.
Movies as I
it had
suggested.
two big barrel or containers, and that was it. Even back then they had really, really good stuff. So I'm happy to see them, doing what they are.
Now all you need is a hose from Wisconsin directly into your basement to deliver new Glarus.
Yes.
Well, get on that, Salsa.
As long as I'm not selling it, I think I'm okay with distributing it. But anyway, that actually leads me into why I have these drinks in the first place. I went camping.
Yay!
Hey!
And these are the drinks that I got for camping. And by camping, I mean, yes, I did stay in a campground, and yes, you know, we did have the tent out and everything like that, but our daily activities were slightly less camping. We went camping in New Ulm, Minnesota. So I went to two different breweries on Sunday.
I think you do camping right.
I mean, good on you.
Yeah,
nicely done.
My daughter's birthday was on Friday.
Yes.
And so we couldn't.
So
we
took her on brewery.
No,
tours.
No. Instead of doing the normal Friday night, Saturday night camping thing that you know, we usually do, it was my daughter's birthday on Friday, and we wanted to do the whole party and everything like that. So so we went camping Saturday night, Sunday night, and came back on Monday. I took Monday off of work, and we went with my sister-in-law and her husband. But we went to this Flandreau State Park.
Yeah.
In New Ulm.
Yeah, Flandreau,
and here's the thing about that state park. It is, like, on the edge of town. Like, you're not... Like, a lot of state parks are you got to travel. It is, like, this is... We went from the Shell's Brewery to our campsite in less than 10 minutes.
Oh.
Huh.
Because literally the entrance to this state park is across the street from the city. So it's right up there.
Okay.
The other thing that Flandreau has, by the way, is a sand bottom chlorinated pool.
Ooh.
Huh.
So it's surrounded by a beach.
Like a tiny man-made
really
lake.
Fancy.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's surrounded by sand. It's got, you know, beach. There's lifeguards there and everything like that. Mm-hmm. But it is a clean chlorinated pool.
Wow.
And so that place was hopping.
I like, imagine.
Good lord.
Yeah, this weekend was... sweaty balls.
Very, very, very hot.
Yeah.
Especially on Saturday, which is when we went the first time. But the cool thing about doing a Saturday night, Sunday night, instead of Friday, Saturday, is on Sunday night, there was no one else there.
Oh, yeah.
I believe it.
Yeah, I can imagine people fucked
like,
right off.
No one at all. Like, the ranger would come and stop every time they drove by, because I guess they just didn't have anything else to do.
No one there.
It was quiet. It was peaceful. We could be play our music as loud as we wanted to, whatever. Like, and because there was no other campfires, it was even more dark. And so just stars.
Ooh.
Like, fuck, stars. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But on Sunday, we went to the August Shells Brewery, which is the second oldest brewery in the United States.
What is the first?
Yingling.
Oh. I'm not familiar with that one.
Yingling but I didn't expect
Yingling
it.
Is super famous.
Oh.
It's in Connecticut, I believe.
I can't believe you've never heard of them before, James.
No.
They're super underground, right? Right?
No, not so much.
If they're really old, maybe the foundation sunk a little bit, so...
I mean, a little column A.
But, okay, anyway. Sorry, Salsa, you were talking...
No, it's quite all right.
He is currently Googling.
Oh, well, then I can talk more about the Indeed. Sinking foundation I wanna, and being underground and stalling. This is me stalling some more. I'm really good at it.
It is in Pennsylvania. I was wrong. I apologize.
Liar!
Oh, Pennsylvania Dutch.
But Yingling is the oldest, but Shell's Brewery is the second oldest. It's 157 years old, I think they said. So it's been around a while.
Yeah.
So wait, is that underground then?
No, it's right on top of a hill, actually.
Ooh.
Like, way on top of the hill.
So that they can defend themselves from Vikings.
Right.
It's the super old...
Pour the boiling beer on them.
They... Wow. Not only do they do all of the Shells brand, but they bought the Grain Belt, like, recipe.
Oh, sure.
And
nice.
Name and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
And so they have all of those...
For
and,
which the sign in Northeast is
and they actually Northeast came they were the ones who developed Northeast because they bought the original recipe from them and then later developed Northeast. August Shell it's this German very very German brewery. All of the signs are in German. Beautiful brickwork, all this other stuff.
Ooh.
Really, really cool place. And then there's the beer garden, the outside beer garden, where you can obviously get some beer. And then they do like, when you brew, what you do is you take the grain and you extract all of the sugars out of it. And what you're left is a very dense protein grain.
You're a dense protein grain.
It's true. What they do
I missed this episode of Mr. Wizard.
They take
we've had
that,
people on the show before to talk about.
They take that spent grain. It's called spent grain, and they make bread out of it. And so it's this super like dense, dark, super tasty bread.
Sounds amazing.
Amazing.
That actually does sound good.
And then they
does it taste hoppy?
No, because there's no hops in it.
Right. Excellent. Then I'm in.
Hoppiness.
God damn it, I hate you. Fuck off.
So this awesome brewery, and they're explaining the reason, you know, there are many things that have killed other breweries.
Sure.
You know, obviously...
Vikings.
Yes. Obviously,
the high ground.
Prohibition
was sure.
Prohibition happened,
sure,
and that obviously killed off a lot of breweries. But what they did is they did this. They were very smart. Basically, what they did is they brewed beer, and then in the final process, they just cranked up the heat and boiled all the alcohol out.
Sure,
so they made near beer.
Sure, which would not have. Been
which was not illegal because it had no alcohol and all of the Germans because New Ulm was a very German town had their near beer and then when Prohibition ended all they had to do is crank the thermostats down and they were producing beer again
and that's why your father will never let you touch the thermostat it's true
So that's a cheap German beer thing. Yeah. So like the day Prohibition ended. So like the day Prohibition ended, they could start making beer again because they didn't have to put any infrastructure back in.
Nice.
The other thing that happened was, and this killed a lot of breweries, because they didn't start making this, but the invention of light beer.
Sure.
Because there was a bunch of breweries who were like, we're not making that light crap, and they went under.
Yeah. Huh.
Because light beer became such a thing.
Wasn't that like the 1970s?
It was, yeah, mid-70s.
Yeah.
And August Schell resisted for a while, and then they said, no, we needed to make a light. And then they made a light, and that's how they were able to stay afloat.
When I was a young man reading Playboys that had been delivered 20 years earlier.
Right.
Oh.
That was when I started to see the advertisements for light beers.
Mm-hmm. So you track history through Playboy?
I mean, that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
And I did learn a lot.
But they also...
To be fair.
They also produce 1919 root beer.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh.
And 1919, because that's when Prohibition went into place.
Right.
And so they make 1919 root beer.
Oh, that's awesome.
Which is still really, really good.
Yeah, yeah.
The third thing that... So those are the two things that a lot of breweries across the country had to go through. The third thing that this specific brewery had to go through...
Fire.
...was the...
Vikings.
The...
Fiery Vikings. Vikings on fire.
Was the Native American crisis back in the 1800s.
Oh, that's less funny. Oh. Okay.
No, that was sad.
No, yeah. August Schell had a really good relationship with the local Native Americans.
Good.
They would come, they would trade, you know, he was...
Sure.
He was good to them, and they were good to him, and they would trade, and everybody was happy.
Traded each other like people?
So, exactly.
Weird.
So, when they were going to, you know, come in and sweep out the white man, they basically went specifically to him and said, you need to get your family out of here, because things are going down.
Oh, my God.
And so, he's got his brewery on the edge of town, so he moved his family into town. And then things started getting more tense, and they went to him, and they said, no, seriously, get out of town. And so he got his family out of town, and then New Ulm was destroyed, like razed to the ground, completely destroyed the entire town. And they came back fully expecting the brewery to also be razed to the ground, and it was untouched.
Nice.
Which is why they were able to still be in existence today.
Right.
Because they treated people like people.
Like...
Which
like
is bizarre.
Like you should.
Yeah.
So that was the first place I went. Then the second place, and here's the thing: it's technically a second entity, but it's owned by the August Schell Brewing Company, and it's a place called Star Keller.
No idea.
And Star Keller is specifically
the base from Star Wars. All right. Good. The three people laughing at home?
Yep.
I love you.
No, we got it. All right. Keller is German for cellar.
No.
All right.
But this is specifically where they brew their sours.
Oh.
So, like, I double don't want to be there?
Yeah, really.
Okay.
I don't think you would like it at all.
Okay.
Except their blackberry was super, super good. Like, super good.
Yeah, but if you cross the threshold, you burst into flames. That's the trade-off.
Here's
that, like, atheist...
They had one...
Right.
Right,
yeah.
They had one that they actually put in a, like, herbal-infused simple syrup. Like, they poured the pint and then poured the simple syrup on top. And that was really sweet and really, really good. You might have liked that one. My sister-in-law, who hates beer, liked that one.
Okay.
But this place is... It's separate. It's on the edge of town, and it's... A square white building with no signs except a tiny little, like, vinyl sign attached to the side of the building that just says Star Keller. That's it. It doesn't say what it is, what's going... There's nothing to say what is in this building. So unless you're specifically going there, you would just drive by
without noticing. Yeah, the only way that you know is that it's on top of a hill and they have the vats of boiling beer.
Except they don't.
Up on the top.
It's just this building across the road
from
the cemetery.
To defend themselves against Vikings.
Yes.
So what you do is...
It's across from a cemetery?
Yeah.
Ghost Vikings.
I know, right? And it's actually kind of creepy on the inside.
What's nice is that you don't have to use real beer. You can use ghost beer.
Ooh.
But you walk in here...
Is it made with ghost peppers?
You walk here and it's very quiet.
Fucking Christ, don't give anybody that idea.
That would be
somebody's
really good.
Gonna make
oh,
it.
Oh yeah, there's a ghost pepper beer.
Well, and the problem
what, is there.
Yeah,
the problem is that
there's
I'm going to drink
a ghost pepper,
this.
There's a ghost pepper cider that we almost bought. Anyway,
fuck.
But you walk in here and it's like the lighting is really low.
Mm-hmm.
It's dark.
There's a black leather couch.
Huge, gigantic wooden barrels on each side, you know, that hold thousands of gallons.
Yes.
You know, and this is the interesting thing.
And at the far end, there's a golden idol.
Shut up! The tour guide at the August Shell Company was saying that mm-hmm. one of the things that Shell did was he never threw anything away.
Oh.
So when they were building the Starkiller place and they had all these really, really old barrels,
mm-hmm.
they needed a way to repair them. And they said the tools to repair those didn't exist anymore.
Huh.
So they literally had to raid the August Shell Museum for the tools to repair these barrels they could brew a beer.
So when they do this, that's amazing. Thank you for telling us and putting up with our fantastic bullshit. Mostly mine.
Fantastic, not so much.
She's the fantastic part, I'm the bullshit
okay,
part.
Fair enough.
So, why, now that they have those tools, mm-hmm. they should make more.
You would think.
I would, because this is how I fucking operate.
Well,
that is what I think, is that they would make
the thing is,
more
is
of them.
Just making tools
sounds
easy, but...
I understand that it's not.
Yeah. But anyway, it's this really... It's dark in there, and mm-hmm. they've got these gigantic wooden tubs that have chalk written on them for when the stuff went in and who brewed it and what's
sure.
in there and
Neat.
Everything like that. And you get a flight, and it's super, super good. And and everything I had was amazing and absolutely would go there again and had the time of my life.
Would bang again?
Yeah, 10 out of 10.
Would bang again.
Would put in mouth.
What?
Would bang
you
again?
You don't... Oh, God, Salsa. You don't... Never mind. Never mind.
It's okay.
It's an internet meme thing.
I'll draw it on a bar napkin for you later.
So anyway, you know, that's basically what I did is I went camping with my family and visited a couple breweries like the way God intended.
Was this your Father's Day present?
No, we just went camping.
I don't understand it.
We're not even close to Father's Day. What are you...
Actually...
I mean, not that far.
No, that was last month.
Yeah.
I'm not crazy.
I feel like that was a while ago.
I mean, it was like a month ago.
Like a month ago.
So no.
So
all right.
This was just our
I mean, my Mother's Day present, like the present that I'm giving my mother for Mother's Day is the show this Wednesday.
I'm gonna be there.
Yeah.
Awesome. You should talk about that.
Yeah.
Huh?
My mom introduced me to murder mysteries when I was young.
There's an actual heartfelt story behind this.
We watched Poirot.
Oh, I don't know if we do heartfelt here.
I know, right?
Well, we
skip straight to the end.
Do
get
now.
Get to the show, God plug the show, it. And then we'll ask Jenna what she's been up to.
Oh, okay.
No, tell the
but,
story.
Yeah,
the story.
And she would read Sherlock Holmes to me and those kinds of things. Mm. So she and I have always had that connection, and I wanted to take her to a murder mystery thing, and Fearless Comedy is doing a murder mystery thing.
Yes.
Which is, I believe, completely sold the fuck out
yep.
again.
Again for this Wednesday, but
well,
I mean, they've already posted this.
Yeah, so. This is the second of two, isn't it?
It was the second of two. However,
as of today,
They have added a third one on September 13th.
Holy
Fearless
shit.
Is doing an encore.
Oh,
encore!
Damn. Oh,
so,
very nice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's super awesome. This
so
particular
go get your
show,
tickets now, because yeah. holy shit, this one sold
They've
out
done
right quick.
A ton of different scripts in the like murder mystery, robbery mystery vein, and they have just been full to the fucking gills every time, and I'm not shocked.
Yeah.
Because, like, as cool as these things usually are, Fearless Comedy does these things to the nines.
Oh,
I heard
God.
Somebody was dressed as a pirate donut for the last one in Trego.
I believe I also heard that, yes.
Which...
That may or may not have happened, Senator.
I hope that happens again.
If we ever remount that specific story, then it may or may not happen again. I mean,
there's already a costume for it.
I just look. I want to hug somebody dressed as a pirate donut. Okay.
Okay.
That's all.
It's, oh God.
I just want to hug somebody dressed as a pirate donut. God damn it.
You better hope we remount this show.
I mean.
So this Wednesday is Murder on the Mississippi, which is being held on a boat.
Jonathan Paddleford.
Yes.
Yes. So. Just, and which is docked at Harriet Island.
Yep.
Yeah.
And if you have any questions about that, go back a month to the episode where I went to see this show and raved about it for fucking ever.
Yeah.
Seriously. Goddamn.
I am super excited.
Stop talking about the goddamn thing.
Because it was that good.
I don't want spoilers.
It didn't even have a pirate donut and it was that good.
I mean, it was on a boat. So, like, any donut on board could have been a pirate donut.
Right.
So, Jenna, what have you been up to?
Your daughter had a birthday. My daughter had a birthday.
Uh-huh.
It was her birthday last Wednesday, but we had her party on Saturday because teenagers apparently don't do parties on weekdays anymore. Okay. Like, I did them on weekdays all the time. Huh. But,
That was a simpler time, though.
No, it wasn't.
Back when we were young and dinosaurs roamed the earth.
Everything was black and white.
I was certainly simpler.
Anyway, so for the second year in a row, we had Joseph's birthday party at Fantasy Flight Games Center.
Yay!
And all of our teenage friends showed up, and they played games, and we had cake, and I ran into people I knew, and it was an absolutely fantastic time. They always have so many new games there to try out.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, I bought a whole bunch of stuff on my way out the door.
Like you do.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
We did that. And, also there was Jessa's father and half sister, who is the most adorable little girl on the face of the planet. She's like, she's got these super wide set brown eyes and like brown curly hair.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like 8. And she just laughs at everything all the time. Like, she's just perpetually happy. I have never seen her sad. So she was there, and she tried to play Cash and Guns, and that was adorable. When I say tried to, I mean, she was actually haphazardly good.
Oh.
And nobody wanted to shoot the 8-year-old.
Like, right.
Accidentally good?
She and I tied.
Oh, goodness.
For first, except... because
you have no problem with shooting an 8-year-old.
There is a rule. No, I didn't shoot her. There is a rule where if you tie in monetary value for cash and guns, the person with the most bandages, so like hits, then wins. And she had a hit, and I did not. So this little 8-year-old brat won by like a Band-Aid. Like, that's
very literally.
Yeah.
By a Band-Aid.
By a Band-Aid.
One by a Band-Aid is my new Led Zeppelin debut album.
Nice. But it's not spelled the way that you think.
Oh, no.
No, of course not.
Yeah.
It's one. O-N-E. One.
Yeah. One by a Band-Aid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's Band-Daid.
Oh, I thought it would be...
Why wouldn't it be Band? Because it's Band.
Because that's what they want you to think.
Oh. I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
So anyway,
don't be oppressed by the society.
The bourgeois spelling people.
Spell bourgeois.
B-O-U-R-G-O-U. No, wait. I've been drinking. B-O-U-R-G-U-E-O-U-S.
There's an I in there.
You missed an I.
I did.
Ha ha, sucker.
See? Okay. There's bourgeois spelling.
There's no
people.
I in team, but there is one in bourgeois.
The bourgeoisie.
But the other thing that happened is since my baby daddy was there for the birthday party, I brought a whole bunch of documentation that I needed for him to sign so that we can get all of Jess's stuff changed on her birth certificate so she can have her actual name.
Nice.
And her actual gender, and it will be amazing.
Whoop. That is amazing.
So that's like the first step in like a series of processes. Like, so now I have to take that paperwork and turn it in at
county place
place thing with the stuff and the people that take the
registrar's office.
Yes, that, and give them money. And then a couple days later, they're going to call me with a hearing date. And then I need to go to a hearing. And I need to make sure my baby daddy's there and at least one other adult that knows Jessa to prove that she's Jessa. Also, she has to pass a background check.
That's going to be a problem. Things. She knows all of us.
I know. What? She does vilification tennis. What? Fuck that. Miscreant.
I wouldn't bring that up.
I would leave that out of the hearing.
Yeah. So anyway, and then we go to the hearing. And then the court decrees that she should get her name changed, which is fantastic. And then I take that decree and I go to the Department of Health and I say, Jesus, here's this. Fuck. Now, can you change the birth certificate? And then they're going to change the birth certificate. And then like they take that. They change. I don't think they do it there. Like, I think it takes a little bit. And then they'll send me the new birth certificates. And then I can take the new birth certificates and I can go get her social security number changed. Also, when I go to get the birth certificate name change, I have to bring an ACT letter from the doctor that says basically, she's been in my care, and yes, she's a chick, so you should change the birth certificate to reflect that.
Jesus.
So I need to bring that as well. And I've finally got an updated ACT letter, so now I can do that. And I'm trying to get all of this done before Jess's senior year of high school. Fingers crossed. I would like for her to graduate recognized as a chick and with her name.
Right. I would also like that. That would be fantastic. Yes. This should be an easier process.
Well, it's the name change part that's the harder part, actually. The gender part isn't nearly as hard. I just bring the letter from the doctor.
This whole thing should be an easier process.
Name change, because we have so much criminal history stuff that's tied to somebody's name.
Gotcha.
It's a much longer process.
Yeah.
Shouldn't take that long for a minor, but still. Like, I mean, you know, she's definitely got a huge history of felonies, which is a question that they ask, actually.
And is in vilification tennis.
I mean, that's
really going to be the sticking point, I think.
Yeah. I mean, the level of...
felonies. Vilification tennis!
The level of delinquency involved for vilification tennis is...
It's just permanent delinquency. No. It's really...
Yes. So anyway, if you've ever wanted to know what the process is for getting your name and gender changed, now you know...
I mean, I know half of that process, and that part sucked enough.
Yeah.
Well, I mean...
Just getting my name changed was awful.
Did you do it through marriage, though?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you just signed the thingy on the marriage thingy.
But like the rest of it...
Oh, the social security card
and
oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Bank information, all of that stuff, yeah.
Oh, God, I'm
going
to
waiting in lines and red tape and filling out forms and shit like that.
Yeah.
I can't imagine how complicated.
I don't.
You get carpal tunnel with filling out forms.
Yes. Yes, very much so.
So.
But we're on our way, and I'm very excited about that. So
that is very exciting.
The thing that happened over the weekend.
Good on you. Good on her.
And then there's been rehearsals for The Tragedy of Obi-Wan Kenobi debuting at the Fringe Festival this year.
All right.
Done the fight choreo for that. And it's coming along nicely. There's lightsabers, which is just cool.
I recommend the Ben Romach.
And I'm so distracted by everything right now. Uh-huh. And then I had rehearsal for Sigourney for the Renaissance Festival.
Yay!
Where we banged on drums a lot. And I fucking love having a really good rehearsal and just coming away like all jazzed up and like full of energy and slightly horny. Like it's
did you
just
have
the
to? I was gonna say, did you have to like power slide into your clothing again this weekend?
Maybe.
Did Tim Wick hit the back of your car again?
God damn it! No. No, I've only been rear-ended by Tim Wick once.
I just threw up in my mouth a little
bit. Sound effects. Sound effects, man. There is a call in this script for a polite cough. Thank you.
No, that was a gag is what that was.
I had a really hard time saying it, but watching Salsa's reaction just made it worth it. Oh, my God.
Those of you at home, the slurping sound was the skin crawling clean off my body.
Yeah.
And running the fuck away. Ugh.
So anyway, that was my weekend.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think I have anything else. Maybe. No. Yes? No.
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 Maybe?
Yes.
I've been cleaning my apartment. That's great.
Yeah.
I like having an apartment.
If we're on cleaning apartments, I think we're scraping the bottom of the barrel.
No, you don't understand. It's been a disaster for months. I can see my game shelves again. It's amazing.
How about a break?
Okay, I like those.
All right, we'll be right back after this.
If you guys like what you heard, come visit us on aonpodcast.com and leave a comment. Or you can send us an individual email at salsa, Matt, or Jenna at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
And we're back. I am Salsa.
I'm Jenna.
And I'm James.
All right.
Yay, we're here.
We are going to do something we haven't done in a while. We're going to do what you've been watching, what you've been reading. Yay! We don't have a theme song for that, do we?
What you been watching?
What
you been playing?
All right.
Excellent.
Who wants to go first?
I have watched in its entirety in the past week all of Stephen
Universe. Yes! Yes!
And it is mostly James's fault.
Okay.
I feel deeply satisfied with that. I will absolutely take the blame.
Like, I started watching it, and I'm like, oh, this is cute. Oh.
This is much darker than I expected.
Like, because he's so happy.
Yeah.
And he's just so compassionate and loving.
That's the cartoon character that looks like Eric Thompson.
Yes.
It is. I believe you mean Eric Thompson.
Ha ha ha.
Curse the French.
Curse the French.
But yeah, so I watched that. And it really is. Like, it handles some really dark topics in a very happy and delightful manner.
Oh, yeah. Mostly.
Mostly. Like, yeah. Like, there was one episode that I watched, and I'm like, oh, this is a PTSD episode. Yeah. Shit. But, yeah.
PTSD, that's the pitst.
This episode is about...
I'm about to fly across this bar and punch you in the gut.
This episode is about consent.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah.
Ooh. Ooh. Yeah.
Oh.
Ooh, awkward. Happy and delightful.
It is actually like a super happy and delightful cartoon.
Yeah, it really is.
I do.
You're really selling it to me.
It's seriously like...
The songs are also extremely catchy.
Oh, yeah. They're lovely.
Is it on Netflix?
No. I watched it off of YouTube.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, it's on YouTube.
I'm a cheap bastard.
It's also on Hulu and Cartoon Network.
Yeah. So.
Yep.
Highly recommend. But yeah, like I just binge watched it. Like I started last
night.
No, I haven't slept.
Powerfully binged. Yes. Watching three episodes at a time.
Yeah, no, I...
On double speed.
I think I started like last Tuesday or Wednesday, I think.
Yeah.
And I just... Right. Like, I finished yesterday? Mm-hmm. Sunday. Somewhere in there. But yeah, so that's like...
I think
four
Monday,
full seasons and
I think it was Monday because I believe I was in the middle of my workday when I got a message from you saying, how much is there? And I was like... Just like this season, there are four episodes so far. And you're like, that's not enough. I need more. Why isn't there more?
Oh my God.
There more. Seriously.
Right.
Like, she was jonesing.
Yeah.
And each episode is like 10 to 15 minutes long.
Yeah.
Oh, really short.
So yeah, the episodes themselves are also cute and adorable, just like the rest of the cartoon.
Well, and one of the things that I love is that there is this history in there of references to really super dark shit, like horror movies and things like that with Fribo and...
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It's... It's not a cartoon for kids. But it is a cartoon that kids can watch.
Yeah, it's a cartoon that kids can watch.
But
they just won't get it.
It's really... Well, I mean, they'll get what kids get. It's like the Muppet Show. The Muppet Show has a lot of fun and content for kids.
It's like Pixar movies. It's the kids get what the kids get, and the adults get what else is there. Everything,
yes. Yeah. Huh.
Yeah.
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 So, yeah, and it's been fun, like, trying to associate myself with different characters, which I do in every movie ever. I'm like, I like this part.
This one has a lot more characters for you to associate yourself with. Yeez. Also, which
and
is
I think
nice.
At different
do you
times
free associate with them?
Free basing and then associating.
Huh? Ooh. No.
And then don't do that. There's a lot of
free basing and then base jumping.
No.
And then associations.
No?
I'm going back to free association.
Yes. Okay. Which is what we were doing.
Cost anything.
Ah.
Right? I didn't have Except to pay for it.
I prefer middle tier association because then I get the speed, but also...
Wait, you do speed?
The value. Right.
Okay. All right.
As he watches it on double speed.
Yes. 3 episodes, double speed.
Goddamn.
Eyes pinned open like Clockwork Orange.
Yep.
So anyway, yeah, that's what I've been watching.
Cool.
As far as what I've been playing, I'm still playing Monster Busters because that's a very quick and easy time pass puzzle game.
Which is the way that people with an addiction for phone games tell you that they have an addiction to a phone game.
But it limits you. Like, you only get so many. So, yeah, that's helpful a lot.
I'm mostly kidding.
No, you're not. You're being 100% honest and factual. So there's that. I've gotten back into Sudoku, which is something I used to play all the time and then stopped for a while for no good reason that I can think of. And I'm remembering how to do that again. It's like, numbers, what? Okay, wait, so this row, but then there's that thing.
I never really got started on that.
Huh?
I never really got started on Sudoku.
I did it for the longest time, then I got burned out on them.
Yeah. Crypto Quips. That was always my thing, because I enjoyed the wordplay of it, but also...
the deciphering aspect?
Yeah. There was. I liked the decoding of it.
Nonograms are my crack.
You're not a gram.
Nonogram.
You're a nonogram.
That's, that's 9 grams.
Yes.
Oh, I get it.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway. Oh, also, I just finished a book in Choices, which is, it's one of those, like, game apps, only it's a book, and it's kind of like Choose Your Own Adventure.
Oh.
Where you have to, like, select different things.
Yeah. Yes. What is the title of this thing?
This particular app is called Choices.
Ah.
It's not, I think it's new. They don't have an awful lot of books.
Hmm.
And I'm hoping that they get a lot more because the app itself is one of the slickest one of these that I've done.
I played a pretty slick one of those.
It's pretty smooth.
A while ago. Yeah.
We
can talk about that. Yeah.
But yeah, like most of the books seem to be like trashy teen pseudo romance, like whatever type. You know what I mean?
Where the only choice is vampire or werewolf.
Basically. Yes.
And
so a lot of them are like that, but there's this
fucking
one book.
Damn it.
A book series, actually. There's 3 books.
Mm-hmm.
Called The Crown and the Flame. And it's a bit more like fantasy, not like fantasy, but fantasy, like dragons and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And you play as the queen of a kingdom and you have to make various choices. And yes, there's a romantic element to it where it's one of those games, you can play it through without paying any money. If you're patient, and wait for your keys to unlock the next chapter.
Right. Sure.
But you can also pay in and unlock like various scenes that you otherwise wouldn't get. Usually the more skate scenes. I may have paid in a little bit. Just, you know, whatever.
No shame in that.
But one of the other things that I really like about this series is that you can do both men and women.
Mm-hmm.
And by do, I mean do. And then
I was about to say, like, I was going to clarify and say you can be men and women or you can do men and
also,
women.
Also, your character changes.
But...
Like, the majority of it you play like the queen.
Sure.
But you also sometimes play the
Randy Page boy.
Basically. Not Randy.
Also
though.
the handsome stable master.
Also
the fearsome but ruggedly good-looking pirate.
I mean, yes, actually there are where you play some of those.
I fucking hate it when I'm right and I'm totally joking about something. God damn it.
That's okay. No, we hate it too.
But in those storylines, you aren't specifically there for the romance. You're just there to further plot and things like that. Like, it's a part of the story itself.
Wait, like plot or plot in quotation marks?
No,
because
no,
anime has
plot.
Tons of plot
no,
in quotations.
It's plot.
In the
it's,
quotation
it's straight
marks,
up plot. But. Like, so you play as this one character for a while and you get this certain angle of the story.
Sure.
And then, like, other things like that. I mean, you can also unlock some more romantic things for them, but it is not essential to the book story. But it was really well written.
Mm-hmm.
Caveat, it's one of the best written one of these that I've done. And I still think, like if it was a book on a shelf, I'd be like, oh yeah, that's cute.
Right.
But for what it is, I was like, oh, this is really good for this. Like, you know what
so
I mean?
So it's like choose your own porn venture.
A lot of it is like actually like you get into like fight scenes and you actually have to make the text will tell you like, mm-hmm. you know, this is coming at you from this angle or whatever. And you have to be like, I dodge to the left.
Okay. So more like Zork with porking.
Yes.
Okay.
Or zorking?
No, that's not a thing, Salsa.
It is now.
No. It is now.
God damn it, no.
Coming soon to sci-fi.
Oh, God. And I just finished, I think I finished the third book. At least I got to choose a love interest at the end of it.
I mean, it's okay to not be sure if you finished, as long as you enjoyed it.
Yes, but it... Usually when you finish a book, it says finished. And this right. one said, like, I did 16 out of 16 chapters.
... Question mark?
Or is it?
But it said I did 16 out of 16 chapters, but it didn't say that I'd completed the book. So now I'm like...
Is there an epilogue?
Is there going to be more? Like, I feel like... And the way the story was written, there could or could not be more. So I'm just like, I don't... What's... Okay. Do I?
There was a key in the haystack that would have been offered by the handsome stable master.
I should have paid for that one.
Yep.
God damn it.
Yep. It unlocks the chastity belt on the beautiful chambermaid. It's true. It's true.
All right.
There's a whole trading quest.
Quotes.
Yes.
Okay.
But also no quotes.
Whoa. That's scandalous.
No, the app like that I played was called Lifeline. And it starts with you just getting a message from someone who's part of a school tour. And their tour has crashed on another planet. They're going into space with their school as a field trip. And it fucking crashed. And they... are just reaching out to anyone that they can find, and they get a hold of you, and then you make choices, and it tells you Adams, the main character,
whether to zork them or not.
There's very little zorking in this one.
I know, you lost me.
Yeah, but it's a sci-fi horror story, and there are tons of different things that can happen, and lots of different endings that you can get, but most of them are. Death. Horrible death.
Ooh.
And the main character is very sarcastic when you personally fuck up. And the main character can also choose to ignore you
if your advice is just fucking terrible.
Right.
Yeah.
So it becomes interesting because whenever Adams is doing something, you know, you say, go recover the coil from the reactor or whatever.
Sure.
It says Adams is busy, and then there's a preset amount of time that it takes for Adams to perform that task. And there's no skip ahead or pay to skip ahead on this. Because my watch is attached to my notifications, I'll get notifications that Adams is back and has finished this thing and is ready. Or it says Adams is waiting, something like that. But it's there are a couple of different ones in this series, and I've now played two of them, and they're decent. They're not the best, but they're sort of the pulp horror,
right?
Sci-fi, the kind of like not Twilight Zone, but Outer Limits kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
it's very Outer Limits, and I enjoy that. Nice. So yeah, Lifeline is good, and occasionally free,
but needs more zorking.
Needs a lot. Based on the choices of people to zork in those,
needs more choices of people to zork.
It does. It does. But then it's Honey Pop, which is a different that's game.
Boobs. That's boobs.
Did I talk to you about that?
Choosy.
Yeah.
Of my own adventure.
Yes.
I mean, if I'm gonna zork somebody, good.
Well, all right then.
Cool.
So that's what you've been playing,
that's
watching,
basically what I've been up to.
Reading.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. James,
have you been? Oh, pause. I've also been rereading the Neil Gaiman Norse mythology book.
Oh,
cool. Because he just writes it well.
I don't think I've read that one.
I mean,
it is actually just Norse mythology. Mm-hmm. It's not like, you know, anything of...
Not a plot line. It's just...
I mean, it is various Norse mythology stories and things like that, but...
Okay.
Hmm. Since the hit to the head, my retention for things is not as strong as I wish it was. So
funny how that works.
So yeah, I'm rereading it again and being like, I think I remember. Oh yeah, I remember that part. Hmm. Like, you know, it's new to me again.
Aww.
Which is
good, and also it's good.
It's the positive way to look at
it. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Silver lining theater.
Yeah.
James, what have you been consuming media-wise?
Tons of games on the Switch. I now have like four or five of them. Okay. ARMS, which is sort of a weird arena. It's like Mike Tyson's Punch-Out if you could play against someone else.
Oh, okay.
But you're like weird robot people. It's
like Rock'em Sock'em Robot?
It's a lot like Rock'em Sock'em Robots. Okay. But it has a few different game modes. It's fun. I like it.
Is there also a versus computer mode, or is it strictly...
Yeah, there's there's single player offline, there's multiplayer online.
Okay.
And you can play with two, three, four people all at the same time.
So it's like melee...
Yeah.
Brawl instead of just
you can choose.
One-on-one.
You can choose how many, and you can also play local multiplayer.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you can have four people in the ring all slugging it out at the same time.
Which is madness.
God.
Yeah.
I just want to watch this.
The difference between that and a regular boxing game is that the arms, the reason for the name of the game, the arms are giant springs. So they go super far.
You can inspect a gadget that shit?
Yes.
Oh my God.
As a matter of fact, one of the characters is kind of a robot cop with a robot dog.
He's a robot
cop. Yeah.
But what does the dog do in the...
The dog also punches people with a fist that comes out of its mouth. So
of course.
Right. Obviously. Like you do.
So there's a... Please tell me the spring has a boxing glove at the end of it.
They do. And you can actually pick what goes on the end. And some of them are... some of them are boxing gloves. Some of them are like weird boomerang things.
No, you need the Green Arrow boxing glove on the end of the...
Some of them are like Japanese comedy mallets, the like squeaky hammers.
Mm. Can you mod that shit?
You can put all kinds of different stuff on either arm, and you can get more things to put on there.
Can you figure out your own things that you look like? Can you create your own stuff? And
I don't think so. I have not seen that ability.
I have so many things that I want to put on the end of the spring right now.
Does the Switch have a mod community, or is that...
I don't think so. No,
is Nintendo?
It's a fairly close
feels like
platform.
They're pretty tight on their intellectual property.
Yeah. I've been playing Splatoon, which is a fun, kid-friendly first-person shooter.
It's a first-person inker, isn't it?
Yeah. Your entire goal is not even to kill the other team necessarily, but it's to cover as much of the playing fight area with your team's paint, your team's ink, and all of your weapons are like squirt guns and paint rollers and brushes and things like that.
What's it called again?
It's that one's Splatoon, and Splatoon 2 is for the Switch. I've been playing a lot of Mario Kart 8.
Nice.
Which I breezed through the lower tier things, and now I'm at 150cc, and I'm starting to get to that point where I remember swear words that I haven't used in a while.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh my god, is it like when I'm reading Norse mythology again?
And
you're like, oh hey, yes. I forgot I had that word.
Yes.
Okay. Excellent.
Yeah, when you start making up combinations of words that just sound filthy, like
egg squatter kumquat.
Yeah, yes, or like mango knuckle or something.
Oh my
like,
god, I can't believe you
like
just
that
said
sounds
that
super gross.
Like, look, I know we're nothing, not like censored but, on this show,
but also I will just call them, you know, dick face fuckers. Also, I'll just, you know,
I mean. It's
that old chestnut. Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Basically, you're doing Steven Pinker proud with your swears.
Occasionally. Occasionally. But mostly just cussing. Just cussing them the fuck out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because at the level that I'm at, they don't even... It's not even like a constant barrage. It's third of three laps... 5 feet in front of the finish line, you get hit with something, and then everyone passes you.
Right.
God damn it.
Yep. Yep.
And then I assume...
Because that's Mario Kart.
Then I assume Breath of the Wild is the last one.
I've been playing a lot of that.
Why am I not surprised?
Because you know me also at all.
That. Well, explain this game to me. What is this?
Breath of the Wild is a Zelda game.
Right, okay.
Yes. And
if anybody knows James at all,
right,
they will know
even a little.
Zelda's kind of his thing.
This one is super, super good. It's if you like Skyrim or any other open world Fallout, things like that.
The guys at Idle Thumbs compared it to Far Cry 2 a lot.
I can see that. I could see something like
and
that.
And just kind of the emergent gameplay and open world aspects.
Yeah. Well, and that every minute choice you make seems to have a weird effect on the world.
Butterfly effect?
If you show up...
a Navi effect?
To meet... That's funny. If you show up to meet people and you aren't...
Yeah, he's a comedian.
You're only wearing your base clothing, which is like little spandex shorts, then people will react to that. Including one person who just goes, Nikki! Nikki! We're both Nikki! And, like, does a little dance and is like, all right, but seriously, put some clothes on. I can't take you seriously.
That's delightful.
Okay, right, yeah.
I haven't played Zelda games in 15 years.
No.
Feel like I'm probably missing out on something.
Right. Yeah, seems likely.
It's a decent game. It does start out very difficult, but I'm to the point where I am no longer afraid of anything.
Oh.
Because I go and fight the hardest things first.
And I mean,
then
that's,
everything
that's
is much
strategy.
Easier. Yeah, it's a dumb strategy, that's, but it works for
but
me.
But it is technically a strategy, so well done.
Yeah.
Technically.
Yeah. And then I just watched the Castlevania anime, which is the comedy, like the apex of certain interests.
Yeah, Netflix has been pushing that one.
And I expected it to be bad. And it's not bad.
Oh.
Subverted
I would say, like,
expectations.
Yes.
That's pretty much my dating life. Like, I lower expectations to the very baseline. Yeah. And then everybody's pleasantly surprised when I don't stab them. So, you know.
Yeah. I'm usually pleasantly surprised when you don't stab me. And then when you do stab me, I realize that I...
Don't fucking push it, James. Don't fucking push it.
It's because of something I did.
Probably. You know I'm just going to use that on you, right, Salsa?
Also, yeah, I should probably...
Okay, yeah. Right. Salsa's handing me weapons, you guys. Like, that's just...
But yeah, I was, force of habit. I was very pleased. Yeah. They didn't have to, like, hang a lampshade on anything or purposely subvert tropes that I noticed. They just wrote a good story and good characters, and it's nice. Fun to watch. It's only 4 fucking episodes, though.
Hmm.
Which is probably why it's good.
Maybe.
Is there more? Where's the rest of
right,
it?
Right, that was...
James, where's
that was
the rest there, right? of it?
Well, I mean, that's one of the things
there,
that
there are only 4 episodes of season 5 so far.
The shows that I really like are the ones that say what they need to say
yeah.
and then get the fuck
yes.
out.
Yeah. I have a feeling that you will very much appreciate the main character if you like, watch this thing.
We talked about Glow a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Same thing. Like, that show mm-hmm. said what it needed to say mm-hmm. and then got the fuck out of Dodge.
Yeah,
and it's really, really good because it didn't try to stretch it out for 20 yeah. fucking 3 episodes. Sexy.
That's me. I'm delicate.
Anyway, continue.
Yeah, so I just watched that and enjoyed the fuck out of it.
Cool, I'll have to give it a try.
It reminds me a lot of kind of the classic horror movies, kind of like Hammer horror,
but
really good writing. Visually, and sort of the universe that it exists in mm. is sort of a Hammer horror, but the...
I don't know what that means.
Like, the... When you think of Dracula,
mm-hmm.
To me, that's kind
like
of in
the... Bela Lugosi?
Right, that's in mm. the Hammer horror okay. sort of, but what, like
is,
schlock...
Is Hammer a director? Or,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
But like the
You
sort
need to
of,
catch up on Real Education.
A lot of the yeah. schlock horror of the 1970s, I believe, 1960s, 1970s.
So, like, Bela Lugosi stuff, Swamp Thing,
yes.
Wolfman.
I believe so.
Yes.
Creature from the Black Lagoons. That
sounds right.
Those. Like, there was an entire, like, just chunk of movies done by mm-hmm. this guy who just
yeah.
did them.
But
like, everybody
Hammer
wanted
horror
him to
is
stop,
a staple.
And he just did them.
I was so excited when I found out that they were going to try to bring back the monster extended universe, and then the first movie was fucking The Mummy with Tom Cruise. And I was like, mm-mm. Well, so much for that.
Yep.
Way to fuck that up.
Yep.
People who don't know that Tom Cruise is a terrible person.
I mean, yeah.
You've been reading anything?
I also just watched Ant-Man for the first time.
I have not seen that one either.
It was decent.
I did not think I was going to like Ant-Man. The expectations and just
yeah.
looking at yourself. But
Paul Rudd is the...
Yeah, is Ant-Man, yeah.
Like, and that is a
really
casting move that I would not have expected at
yeah,
all.
Yeah, and I was nervous. Because
I kind of don't like Paul Rudd that much.
Yeah, he does the character pretty good, though.
He
yeah.
does.
Okay. He really does.
But seeing him in the previews and stuff, I went, okay, he's kind of got a Robert Downey Jr., Iron Man, Tony Stark kind of thing.
What?
In that
he's definitely got that arrogance.
Exactly
thing,
right? In
sure.
that he's a little, I don't want to say goofy, but
he's kind of goofy.
But that's not quite the word I'm looking for, though. Just kind of that over the top arrogance that comes off as
the arched
funny.
Eyebrow.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I kind of went, okay, maybe, but
yeah. No, I mean, and you've, I don't know. I mean, there's a little bit more heart to it than that, but you
yeah.
pretty much nailed it.
But I mean,
like, you're not wrong.
Yeah. The first Batman movie. No, I'm talking about the Jack Nicholson
yeah,
Joker
yeah.
one. They were like, a comedian as Batman, this is going to be terrible, and that movie was great.
Yeah.
So I'm like, we'll give it
yeah.
a go. But
I mean,
I haven't seen that
it's
one.
It's good
so.
To watch. I mean, it's just helpful in some connection stuff, but it's also just, like, as a standalone, it is a fairly pleasant way to pass mm-hmm. the time.
Yeah. I mean,
there was nothing like great and meaningful that I got out of
three
it.
3 out of 5. It's
yeah.
And they don't
yeah.
they don't seem to like they're going to try to tie this into anything else. This isn't part of the extended universe.
I tend to be super rough with my grading, though.
Yeah.
All right. 3 out of 5 is exactly what I expect, exactly what I want when I go in and see it. Okay. 4 out of 5 is a really good movie, something that I will recommend
five
to other
is
people.
Citizen Kane.
Citizen Kane is really technically good. like as far as the things that they accomplished, but it's not.
Oh, okay.
Like story-wise, it's a slow fucking movie.
Okay.
Godfather, maybe. I'm trying to think what would be the perfect film. It has to be something that I could just watch.
Fifth
essentially,
Element. Ice Fifth Pirates. Element. Fifth
on
Element.
Repeat.
No, Fifth Ice Element Pirates. Is the best ever. The best ever.
Ice Pirates.
Ice Pirates is really good, but Fifth
like,
Element.
Fifth Element would probably be a five because I've seen that movie a bunch.
Six String Samurai. That would be
Six String Samurai is really
that
good.
That would be a five right there.
Old Boy is probably a five. Okay. Because, like, not the American one. The American one's a four.
No, of course.
The original, which I think is Korean, is a five. Yep. Five out of five. But, god damn, that is a fucked up movie. Yes.
So anyway.
But, yeah, Ant-Man was three out of five. Yeah. Decent. Go see it. You know, okay. If you have the opportunity to watch it, enjoy it.
Yeah.
Make some popcorn.
Yeah,
popcorn. And the thing definitely is, like, if you're cuddled up with somebody, and
why wouldn't you be?
And if you missed part of the movie for reasons, that's okay.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah,
yeah.
Any reading or?
Yeah, I've been reading the Dark Tower series. I'm on book five. Okay. I'm better than halfway through the fifth book, and it's becoming stressful. It's becoming deeply, deeply stressful. But I'm excited because the movie's coming out, and I don't know how to feel about it, but I sure as fuck am going to watch it.
The more I read about that movie, the less I'm hopeful.
I like Idris Elba, and
I know, but they just
like Dark Tower.
It's all of the decisions that were made sound like they're purposefully just going out of their way to make this bad. So,
It seems like the Kung Fu movie version of the beloved property, and honestly I'm gonna be okay with that, just in the same way that I was okay with
also,
film versions of Hitchhiker's Guide.
Like, it's apparently only like an hour and a half long.
Yeah,
like they're gonna try to cram all of that.
Yeah, it seems like they're gonna try to push all of that shit together. Yeah, yes,
that just, and then they took The Hobbit and made it into three movies. I'm just saying.
Okay. Yeah, but
just saying.
Okay, but who's directing?
I'm just
the Dark
saying.
Tower, and who's and it's not Peter fucking Jackson.
Because
if it was Peter Jackson, it would be three films per book.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, all right, fair.
There is a TV show that I absolutely adore.
Is it the British Bacon Show?
No.
Okay.
I do enjoy The Great British Bake
Off,
though.
That was a very good one, though.
Have you actually watched it?
No.
If you haven't... Oh,
then you should.
I don't have a TV.
No, that's okay.
Yeah. Technically, I have a television.
Do you have Netflix?
No.
Hmm. On your computer? Not at all? Really? Okay.
No. The Netflix account was Jesse's.
Okay. Let us talk.
Anything. So anyway, all right. After you watch Great British Bake Off, you need to watch Masterclass.
Okay.
Yes.
Because Masterclass is where the two judges go through the entire season and say, this is the correct way to make this.
Yeah.
And like, they have decades of experience and they're like, this is how you do it correctly.
Yeah. But
and
holy,
they teach you how to make
fuck
these
that
things.
Is okay. Unlike really most good reality shows, that is
so
one of the most charming shows that I've ever seen in my whole life.
But that's not what I was going to say. No.
Yeah.
This is another British show, though.
Yeah.
This is another British show. It started in the 80s and went 10 years. And it is a British sitcom called Allo Allo. Apostrophe A-L-L-O, apostrophe A-L-L-O. And this is a comedy. It takes place in France during World War II.
Colin Roux introduced me to this.
And it's a... it's this little French bistro owner who Nazis frequent his cafe, and he's just trying to get through the war alive. And he has his wife who is, ugly and annoying, and he is carrying on an affair with both of his waitresses who don't know about the other one and who he has promised to run away and marry both of them after the war. And so he's getting some on the side, and he's not an attractive man. He's this frumpy, saggy old guy. And he gets roped.
I had a date like
and
that
he gets and he gets coerced into helping the French Resistance smuggle British airmen back to Britain.
It's like Fawlty Towers plus Hogan's Heroes.
Exactly. It is absolutely exactly like that.
Yes.
Interesting.
100%. That is an amazing description
it's
of this
really
show.
Really fucking good.
And it is so there his wife's mother is old and decrepit and bedridden, and she's lives in the attic, and they have hidden the radio to the British under her bed. And so they will like go up to her bedroom and pick up the bed and pull out the radio, and while they're talking to the radio, they're talking to the British intelligence, like the old, you know, mother-in-law is like only hearing half the conversation and is responding to what they're saying in hilarious ways, and they've got in the cellar, they've got the forger who's forging papers for the British, and there's the German like commandant for the town,
sure,
who has also coerced this shop owner into hiding a priceless painting that he has stolen that Hitler is looking for.
Oh God!
But he has stolen because he wants that to be he wants to sell it after the war and live off of that basically.
Sure.
But Hitler wants that, and so now if it comes out that he stole it, he's going to get in trouble, so he's asked the French cafe owner to hide it in his cellar. And there's the Gestapo in town looking specifically for that painting. And hijinks ensue.
Yeah.
It's fucking hilarious. Yes. It is so goddamn good. I watched this show when I was a kid, and I fucking love it. And the fact that it's on Netflix now makes me so happy.
Yeah,
because I was watching other shows. I was watching, like, Glow, and I, like, no, I have to watch this now. And that's what I've been watching ever since, and it just makes me so happy. Because there's the young, adorable French waitresses who are, you know, young and virile and hot. And they're just like, when will you run away from your wife and marry me? And he's like, oh, my dumpling, it will be after the war. And
God fucking damn it.
It is so ridiculous, and they're all speaking in English,
right?
But they're all speaking in English. But then you've got the British and the French, and so the only way you can tell if they're speaking in French or English is the accent.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like the British airmen can't speak a word of French, so they're like, "I say it, Costas. What are they saying?" and then the French are like, "What have these English just said? Why are they? What are they, you know?" And then there's the one French accent.
Yes, worst French.
I know. It's
ever.
All of the French accents are terrible.
Legitimately, they're all. He's doing a terrible French accent right now, but he is doing a 100% accurate allo accent.
No, this show is so funny. And then there is the American or the British, who has been sent to France to assist. And he is posing as a policeman, and he was sent to France because he speaks French. But his French is terrible. So he speaks a terrible French accent to signify that he's speaking French terribly.
Well, and like his English is bad as a way, like if I'm remembering correctly, because I watched like three episodes
of this.
So
his quote French is like, I want to go to the Rome. Like and everybody just rolls their eyes, and it's so fucking good.
Not understanding that at first, I was like, Cole, what the fuck is wrong with this guy? Like, what is the joke that something terrible has happened to him, or where is he from? And he goes, no, he's speaking French right now, and it clicked.
Yeah.
And I could not stop laughing. So
and then there's the leader of... There's also two French resistances.
Mm.
There's the communist French resistance, and there's the De Gaulle French resistance, and they don't like each other, so they're at odds with each other.
All right.
And then there's Michel, who's in charge of the De Gaulle resistance, who has gotten René, the shopkeeper, on their side. And every single time she shows up, every single time, her opening line is... Listen very closely. I shall say this only once. Every single time.
Okay.
And it actually becomes a joke where, like, later on, somebody will be like, well, she won't tell anybody. And he's like, only once.
God damn it.
Awesome.
Awesome. So, it's on Netflix now, and it makes me so happy. It's allo, and it makes me just happy inside. And that has been warring with the other thing that I've been doing, and that is
because it's a World War II
And that is Black Flag, Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag. Oh. Because goddamn pirates. Mm. It's so good. There has been more than one 2 a.m. Holy shit.
Yeah. He came into work and he just looked like he was dragging ass. And I was like, Salsa, you doing okay? And he was like, I'm real tired. And I was like, what time did you go to bed? And he goes, Black Flag o'clock? Oh. Fuck. You're well tired then. Oh, yeah. All right.
No, it was real. I don't think I really need to say more about that.
No, but I understood immediately.
I've been playing Black Flag, and it is so good.
Yeah, I stayed up until one more shrine in the morning, so I fucking... Mm. I know.
Yeah.
God damn it. Yeah. That's one of my favorite things about that... Bear. Friend Bear. Mr. Bear. Loves that. And he...
Mr. Bear really needs like a... Or something.
Yeah? So, all right, let's try that out. Okay. Mr. Bear. He was playing Black Flag. Then he's doing the same shit. When I would ride in his car, he would plug in his phone and he would just like flip through tracks. He would just like cycle through. Nope. Okay, I'm out of skips on Pandora. He would do basically the same thing with the little sea shanties that your crew sings as you're cruising.
Oh, God. Okay.
So, I don't want that one. But the sea shanties are so fucking good. There's a podcast about that. I've started singing them.
Sea shanty, because I know several from like right up out of.
They're legit.
They're
legit period sea shanties.
And one of my favorite podcasts.
You would know some of them because my wife, a couple days ago, I was playing it and she was in the corner reading a book and she was suddenly like, What are you watching? What are you playing? Okay. And I was like, I'm playing Black. She was like, okay, because I know this song.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know.
And since I grew up with her, I know it's likely
75% of the songs in that game are known to me.
Nice.
So, Mr. Bear.
Not while I'm drinking, you son of a bitch. Okay.
Mr. Bear. He was playing this in, and I was there, and I'm just like quietly singing along with these as he's, and he goes to flip through the track list, and I'm like, God, just fucking pick one. But yeah, the music in that is amazing. There's a Top Score episode. Top Score is an NPR podcast.
Okay,
they stopped making it at some point, I gather, but they had an episode about. Assassin's Creed Black Flag, where they're talking about assembling this men's chorus to sing sea shanties, and they had to stop the recording dozens of times to tell them that they were singing too well. Over there, just sing fuck off key. Yeah, stop. You're on key, not good. You're on tempo. Don't be. You over there, more gravel. Like you're coughing. Cough if you can. But yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, yeah. The result is very appealing.
Sidetrack. My family, on my mom's side, they're all musicians. Everybody's a musician. Mm-hmm. Everybody's got pitch and key and like everything. And the way they sing Happy Birthday is with everybody singing different keys, different tempos, different like everything.
Harmonizing. Yeah.
No.
Purposefully.
Discordantly.
Oh, okay.
Awful.
Okay.
That is amazing.
And yeah, that's just what you do. So nice. I was always like, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, so that I could just be done with my part.
Sure.
And then wait for everybody
to
trickle in.
And then wait for everybody else. Mm. Oh my God.
Cool. Yeah, I'm so happy right now.
You can get the soundtrack for it. And I wholly,
yeah, no,
I might just
wholly
get recommend
it. You will enjoy it.
Okay. You should,
absolutely.
Yeah,
a great deal.
Riga had a birthday recently, and I'm considering getting him the soundtrack.
Wasn't that today?
Yes.
Happy birthday, Riga.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Riga. I'm considering getting that for him, and then that, and there are some essentially like necessary game soundtracks. The one for Bastion also.
I own that one.
Is because 100% necessary.
Yes, I own that one.
Yeah. Also, the one for Portal 2 is free and good.
Actually, I don't have the Bastion one anymore. It was on my computer before I had to wipe it.
Well, if you got the soundtrack edition, I think you can
It was given to me by someone else.
Oh, well, so. Then maybe it can be given to you by someone else that you know.
Anything else, or should we take a break?
I'm comfortable with a break.
All right.
Yeah.
Break time, Uncle Red. Ba-da-da, ba-da-da.
Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
Just like distant, like always.
And we're back.
Oh my God.
I'm Salsa.
Nice.
How much of that did you get?
Enough.
Did you get too much?
No such thing.
That's an actual thing.
No. We can review it later if need be.
All right.
Anyway, it is time for our outro. And that means
outro. What the outro?
That means we should probably tell you. What to drink, because this is thirsty work putting on a podcast, and so the only way we keep ourselves motivated and coming back for more is by drinking some coffee.
I actually have a PSA.
Oh, no!
Hmm? If you have a coffee maker that has like the little metal filters so that you don't have to destroy the earth slowly by putting in new filters every time,
Whew.
Wash the fucking thing.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
That goes without saying?
Here's the thing. Like, I've only had my machine for like a few months. And you know, you definitely rinse it and everything in between, but you're not supposed to use soap because it's bad for the oils and everything, right? Like my machine I discovered today has like a little button that just blinks when it's time to clean. And so then I fill it up with water and I push the button and it gets everything. And so I did that today.
Do you do the vinegar bath too?
No.
Okay.
I might do that yearly, but no.
Okay.
And only then just a little bit.
Is that to remove scaling?
Like she said, every year or so, you put just some vinegar in some water, and then you run that, and the hot vinegar just breaks down some of the acid that builds up from the coffee and stuff like that.
Yeah, nice.
So anyway, I did that, and then I brewed some coffee, a very specific brand of coffee.
Oh,
was it True Stone?
It was True Stone.
What?
I've got the True Stone Brazil right now that I'm going through. It's amazing. But I was like, oh, because I had this yesterday and it was good. Like, it was really good.
And now
now it's amazing.
Awesome.
It's like I could taste everything again. It was fantastic.
I just had them deliver a t-shirt, the Cool Brew gift pack. Which, because I needed some of those really swank ass tulip cups.
The tulip glasses are really nice.
Yes. And then some of the Peru.
Mm-hmm.
Which is
Peru's good,
unbelievable.
It's pretty good. Yeah. I'm usually more of an island person. I like the Sumatras, and I don't know if they've ever had Tanzanian.
I have seen a Tanzanian.
If we get another one of those, I want one of those.
Okay, I will try.
I haven't seen it on the site.
We'll see if we have any in stock.
All right. Java.
Yes.
Like the actual Java, not Java's.
Island Java.
But they are fantastic people.
Yes.
Their business is fantastic. And their coffee is
fantastic.
Of those two things.
Yes. If you want to get in on all of this fantastic coffee,
fantastic cubed,
you should go to truestonecoffee.com. You should order that gift pack that James was talking about.
Yes.
The t-shirt and the tulip glasses, which are really, really cool.
Yeah.
And
that t-shirt is really good, too.
So comfy.
And then, once you get to the checkout, you use the promo code Apropos.
Apropos!
No, we already passed it. Sorry, it's too late.
I fucking hate you. You're an evil person, and I hate you, and I'm going to destroy you in your sleep.
No, okay, we'll try it again. So what you do is you get to checkout, and right before you enter in the dollar amount, you first want to make sure that your order is correct. You don't want to, and then you enter the promo code Apropos, and
Apropos,
then you
move along,
and then and then you get a 10% discount on your order,
with the promo code
Apropos. Shit, I didn't know you were going to... Oh, man. It's apropos.
And you get coffee, and you get cool True Stone stuff, and you get to support a local business that is doing really cool things and is not owned by any corporations or anything like that.
Yeah.
And are good people who deserve
And they are so nice to their beans.
It gets delivered right to your door.
With your name on it.
Fucking literally nothing not awesome about this. So do that.
Yes.
The other thing I should mention really quick before we get into our final thing is, hey, you guys, remember a while back when we had those stickers?
Yeah.
And those stickers had the martini glass and they say, for science on them.
For science?
Yes.
And it goes his way. Hey, would you like that on a t-shirt?
Sure as fuck would.
I know. You should go to society6.com/apropos of nothing and you can get that shit on a t-shirt, or you can get it on... bath mat, or you can get it on a shower curtain, or you can get it on whatever you fucking want.
Okay, I do actually need a shower curtain because I live with two other dudes and it's getting bad.
But you can go to, like I said, society6.com/AONpodcast.
Also, that's a swank ass.
We have the circle logo buckle up for the sex design, ooh, and we have the for science martini glass design now also on that website. So, hey, if you're looking for apropos of nothing swag, there's bags and all this other stuff. And I'm actually really amused. I'm looking at the preview of the website, and we do have duvet covers and comforters.
Yes.
And what makes me really, really happy is the the big giant buckle up for the sex on a giant giant comforter.
This is my plan, is the buckle up for the sex on actually a couple of pillows, and then for science on the duvet.
That is a bachelor pad,
my pimp pad.
Yeah, that is a bachelor pad / pimp pad, like, calling card right there. It's like
that is,
you
that
open
is
the
beautiful
door and you're like, I wonder what's gonna happen. That's what's gonna happen. Buckle in.
For the sex.
But yeah, all sorts of stuff. Phone cases and towels and all sorts of nonsense. So get that stuff. Hey guys, how about Fast Five. All right. Today's...
Why do people keep giving me these cues while I'm drinking?
Because you keep drinking.
Oh, I like drinking.
No,
okay.
Yeah, so do I. This Fast Five comes to us from April 16th of 2013.
Oh.
From a guy you may have heard of, Mr. Mud.
Yay, Mud.
Mud Steffen.
So, for those of you who do not know how this works, Fast Five is, we are sent two emails from you, the listener. The first one contains only the answers. It is A or B choice. You get to choose crunchy or creamy peanut butter, but you don't know what the question is until after we're all done, and then we open up the second email, and we find out what the actual question was. Was
right,
it a good thing?
Because
the
question may be crunchy or creamy. And then the context may be discharge.
Yeah,
and not peanut butter.
Oh God.
Exactly. So you never know what you're gonna get.
That's a doctor's appointment. Oh God.
Yep. I mean, crunchy because it you're alive. This week, don't worry, you'll figure out how this works. The first set of answers is pinky. Or the brain.
Oh.
I'm going, this is easy for me. Pinky.
I'm going to go the brain, and here's why. When Kyle and I were announcing for Human Combat Chess, we basically based our character dichotomy off of Pinky and the Brain.
Ah.
Him being Pinky and me being the brain.
That makes sense.
It was a subtle choice. Like, we didn't, like, play it up like,
oh, yeah.
This is actually a super difficult choice for
Narf.
Me.
I mean, not on stage.
Brain did the whole Orson Welles, Fields Peas thing, which was fucking amazing.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But as a young man at the time, I did not realize that I had an interest in librarians in that way until there was an episode where Pinky discussed librarians being hot.
Yeah.
Like, there's just a really fast aside, and I went...
You paused for a moment. Went, huh.
Yeah. Well, all right. Yeah. All right. So, Pinky.
I think
The thing that I do like, I loved with Pinky the I Think So Might, just like mm-hmm. every single time, like. But with me and Pippi Longstocking, so, what would the children look like? Or all of those little just bits and pieces.
I think so, Brain, but where are we going to get rubber ducks at this hour?
Rubber pants.
I mean...
not that I...
I just chose a noun.
Anyway,
with an adjective.
So Pinky and the Brain follow that classic trope of straight man and mm-hmm. and yeah. punch guy. And I've always associated with the goofy one. And Pinky just does it for me.
That seems weird.
Pinky would be terrible without the straight man, but I fucking love it.
I consistently get like set up as the straight man, mm-hmm. which is really funny for a bi woman. But you know, like
I was gonna say, being neither of those things,
right? So yeah, like, but that's apparently I make a really good angry face. Mm. Or a disgusted face.
That's true. That I have told yeah. puns adjacent to you.
It's all coming back to me now. Now I remember why I need to stab you.
Question
okay.
two. Sylvester or Porky Pig?
Porky Pig.
This one, I'm guessing, has something to do with the speech impediment.
Yeah.
Lisp or stutter?
Mm.
For many years, I had a stutter. I actually had to train myself out of that one. When I get super stressed out, you can hear it sometimes.
I think I'm going to go with Sylvester on this one.
Just based on the characters themselves.
That's kind of what I'm basing my
I think I have to go Porky Pig because he's a more earnest character. Sylvester is trying to kill and eat something, which is not the worst. But
Porky's like, boring. It's nature.
I don't know that Porky is boring.
Porky was always so milktoast.
I'm sorry.
All right.
Porky was always like the Ned Flanders-y, like.
But he also he was like the MC of the episode. He was the master of ceremony. He would close the
Sylvester. That was funny.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that reminds me of the Bill story.
Okay, make it quick.
I think I've told this one before, but I'm going to tell it again. So after a few months of Bill and I dating, we were getting very friendly in my living room up against the bookshelf. And Bill's cell phone ring at the time was the Looney Tunes closing out That's Awful. So we're up against a bookshelf. And I have an old violin like that had like survived a fire that was just pretty because of how it had just survived the fire. And so there's a bump. The violin falls on my head, and suddenly Bill's phone rings. And that's how you have sex with a comedian.
Yep.
So.
The story checks out.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. That's when I fell in love.
So you're going with Porky Pig on that one.
I guess I kind of have to at this point, don't I?
Question number three. Betty Boop. Or Jessica Rabbit.
Jessica Rabbit. Okay.
This is Jessica Rabbit, hands down.
Yep.
Oh my god.
I mean,
no. Okay. I may have said this before. My wife, when we were just dating and we were getting like wedding planning, and she was like, "So, is there anything you want me to wear on our wedding night?" And without missing a beat, I said Jessica Rabbit dress.
I mean, fair.
I did do it.
She looked at me a little.
Costume.
She was like, I meant like lingerie or something. I was
You're like, yeah, just that is lingerie. That's what that is. That's what it's for. That's what you.
No, that one was easy.
You asked, and I told you.
Yeah. No, that.
Yeah.
Look. She's not bad. She's just drawn that way.
I did dress up as Jessica Rabbit once for Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
The hair over the eye thing is annoying as fuck all. Mm-hmm. And I don't have the chest for it. But I'll look fucking damn good in that gown, I tell you what.
The slit up to the hip gown.
Oh, yeah.
Just does it for me.
Yep. But I'm going to go with Betty Boop.
Also the redhead.
Betty Boop?
I'm going to go with Betty Boop.
Boop.
Yeah. I enjoy the cutesiness of her. Also, she was one of the first cartoon characters that I associated specific aspects of femininity with.
Hmm.
Things that are more like more cultural awareness around being female for me, as opposed to I'm just a kid. Now I'm a kid, and there's like I'm starting to see like societal expectations and things like that around being female. And watching Betty Boop, like, it just kind of like helped drive home, like, in that kind of more abstract way, that yes, there are differences that exist here. So yeah, I'm gonna go Betty Boop.
Okay. Question number four: Roadrunner or Sonic the Hedgehog?
Fucking love Sonic the
Hedgehog. I don't like Sonic. I've got to go raised with Roadrunner.
I played Sonic.
Yeah, I was raised so on much. The Sega Genesis.
So. My wife was the same way. My wife loves Sonic. I just can't.
For me, when I was with my ex-fiance, I came home from work. I found her with her best friend from where she grew up. I was visiting. They had been playing Sonic the Hedgehog. And they were like, "Oh yeah, we're stuck on this level." And I was like, "Oh cool, all right, I'll give it a shot." They'd been playing in rotation, and then I played the rest of the game, and I got to the end of the game, and I was like, "Fuck, I didn't get all the emeralds, right?" And they're like, "You are a piece of shit. We were stuck on that all day.
Yeah,
we have been playing that level all day." Yep.
Mm-hmm. Sonic the Hedgehog. So back in my day at IB, when
dinosaurs roamed the earth,
basically. No, it was just after that.
as the we're Earth's up to crust cavemen cooled.
At that point. We had an in-house task management system, like an in-house built task management system, and I helped put this together, bits and pieces. And so one of the things that I did was I had on the very top put in, just for my profile, a little animated GIF of Sonic the Hedgehog.
I believe it's pronounced animated heef.
Yes. Sonic the Hedgehog with his arms crossed tapping his foot.
Nice.
Yeah. That.
And so for years there was this image that just existed in that thing called Zoller. And some... It was close to the end of my time at IB. Somebody was like cleaning through a bunch of this because we'd moved on to bigger and better, other systems. And and they're like, so there's this image with your name on it. Look at it. It'll be fun. So yeah, it may still exist because he said he wasn't going to remove it. So it might still be there somewhere. Someplace.
I know what I'm doing tomorrow.
Yeah, good luck finding it.
Work, shirking work.
You son of a bitch. You had Monday off to drink.
You kids have fun.
And I did.
Teach me your ways. All right. I wish to subscribe to your newsletter.
I've been trying.
Right, but I'm slowly teaching you my ways of ignorance and...
Of ignoring my ways of teaching
happy,
you.
Happy-go-lucky stupidity, yeah.
So anyway, Sonic is basically what
Sonic. Absolutely.
Yeah.
SpongeBob SquarePants or Muttley?
Who's Muttley?
I don't know.
Muttley is Dick Dastardly's companion. The one that laughs like the dog from Duck Hunt. And it's like...
Fucking hate that dog.
Right. There was a cartoon called Wacky Races.
Okay.
And Dick Dastardly was the bad guy.
Okay.
With the like cartoon mustache.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
A cartoon character, but like the villainous pencil mustache. And he would order Muttley to go do these things, and it was
I think I vaguely recall there was also the Stop This Pigeon cartoon
where they were trying to catch the pigeon that had the letter full of expletives that he had sent to his boss, and they were trying to capture this male pigeon grab the letter.
Gender or just like delivery service?
You know, like a male plane.
Hate everybody.
So they
so
were
who are you saying?
Trying to catch the pigeon.
SpongeBob or Muttley?
I'm going to go SpongeBob because the comedy in that is much, much more highbrow. Weirdly.
I'm going to go SpongeBob just because it's more recognizable.
I'm
going to
go Muttley.
Yeah?
Because I never got into SpongeBob.
Hmm.
I just couldn't.
I didn't like it at first. But
know it.
There were things that won me over.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much, Mud. Here is the questions. Ooh. Number one, Pinky and the Brain. Which one are you? I'm Pinky.
I'm the Brain.
I am definitely more Pinky than anything else.
Yeah, I think so. All right. Question number two, Sylvester or Porky Pig, who has the more... Okay, this was...
Who has the more
he more... Okay, no, I think there was just a bad copy-paste in here. Hmm. Who has the more annoying speech impediment? Porky.
I actually think Sylvester's is more annoying to me.
Oh, really?
Although I might have my own personal reasons why a stutter isn't as annoying to me.
No, absolutely.
I like that Porky makes a different choice in what he's trying to say.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
a very impatient person.
There's something about Sylvester's that I just feel like I'm going to get spit on all the time.
Well, there is that.
I don't like it. I'd rather have a stutter and less spit.
Question number three, Betty Boop or Jessica Rabbit, sexier cartoon character. That
Jessica Rabbit.
Jessica Rabbit, yeah, easy. It's
right.
Jessica Rabbit.
Right. Question number four, Roadrunner or Sonic, who would win a long distance race?
Oh, shit.
That is
Sonic is slower than Mario. So
I gotta go Roadrunner in this, because when he runs, all you see is a streak of dirt.
Yep.
Yeah, you get the little poof of cloud, and that's it. So it probably.
And the ricochet sound.
Yeah. I gotta go Roadrunner on this.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, I'm sad, but yes.
SpongeBob or Muttley, who has the more annoying laugh? Is SpongeBob. That is easy.
I'm gonna say motherfucking Muttley, because it reminds me of that Duck Hunt dog.
Oh.
I hate that dog.
I mean, so do I, but SpongeBob's laugh. Ugh.
No. It's a comedy laugh.
High pitched, inane.
Yeah.
Ugh. Anyway, all right.
All right.
That has been a Fast Five.
Yay!
So I think that about wraps it up. We've already talked about True Stone, and we've already talked about the merchandise that is now available for your consumption, should you choose to own Apropos of Nothing stuff. We're not saying you have to. But if that's
but you have to
but
wrap your body in their swag.
Really, really, really need to get a comforter that says "Buckle up for the sex."
Holy
shit! Put
that
on your bed.
If I can get a sheet,
save that.
If I can get a sheet that says "Buckle up for the sex" and make it into a toga, life is complete.
The duvet cover, but that can happen.
I mean,
or a shower curtain,
winter toga.
But this is what you do. You buy yourself a Buckle Up for the Sex duvet cover, and then you wait for that special night when the kids are away at grandma's, and you make that candlelight dinner for your significant other, and you put that on the bed. And then after you eat your spaghetti, all Lady and the Tramp style, and she opens... Oh, God, I wouldn't...
You are sleeping on the couch.
I wouldn't do this, because I'm smart. I'm telling other people to do this and report back to us. You put the Buckle Up for the Sex comforter on the bed, and you let us know how that turns out. And then you get a For Science shower curtain, and you drink in the shower.
Buckle up. For the sex.
All right, that's enough for us. I have been Salsa.
Let me plug a couple things real quick. Not this Friday, but the next Friday, the 28th, is a Vilification Tennis Geek Show.
Woo!
Woo! Myself and Jessa will be in it again. Are you in this one, James?
I am not.
Oh, no, you're out. No, wait,
I was going to be, but I will be near the Canadian border.
God. Anyway, it's going to be a really fantastic show. The Geek Show is always fantastic. I also just want to mention, we'll talk about it more in depth later, I'm sure, but... I have two Fringe shows, Tragedy of Obi-Wan Kenobi. I've done the fight choreo for that.
Woo.
That also has past guest Matthew Kessen is involved, and Nick Gerber is also involved with that one.
Ah.
And then Serpentine, which is written by Philip Andrew Bennett Lowe.
Neat.
I'm doing some storytelling for that one. So, yeah.
Awesome.
Those are things. Keep them on your radar as you're building your Fringe list. Put them on there.
All right. Hot damn.
Yeah. I will be at Ren in the Glen. In a couple weekends. That is coming up, not this coming weekend, but the weekend after in Glen, Wisconsin.
It is everything that it's advertised.
It is only an hour out of the cities, and it is a lovely little festival that that is
I have actually heard that it's really good.
It is it is a fun little festival. I enjoy it a great deal. Come out and see me swallow swords and shit. James, anything? Nope. Okay. Everybody, enjoy your evening. Thank you so much for listening and eat the fucking cake.
Eat the fucking cake.
Oh, look, jumpy blue lines.
Her jumpy blue lines are way better than yours.
My jumpy blue lines kick your jumpy blue lines ass. True story.